In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We enter the calm green sunnies of summer. We begin with a beautiful baptism today. I'd like to say just a few words about baptism and then go to the sermon text. But we baptized Zoe Lila. And I married her parents just a few years ago here, and it's a wedding I'll never forget because Rocky is of Indian descent, so we came on a horse. They had to close the entire 29th Street. We're speaking in costume as a posada.
Barat.
And it was everyone came out of the church to look, and it was just beautiful. Now that it's come, this beautiful baby girl, we baptized her. Baptism is the first sacrament. We often say about a sacrament is an outward sign of an inward grace. There are many graces of baptism. And one of the beautiful graces of baptism, especially illumined in infant baptism, when a baby is baptized, is the image of God taking the initiative to say, I love you first, before Zoe can do anything to please God or to grieve the heart of God. God says to Zoe, you are mine forever. And she will be sealed with oil, the sign of the cross on her forehead. The oil will be washed off, and the sign is invisible. But all of her life, she will be marked as God's own in the hollow of his hand. A beautiful story to iterate this. I might have shared this before, but I had a friend of mine, middle age, and a faithful Christian and churchman. And I complimented his Christianity. Well, it wasn't always that way. I was a precocious teenager, and something turned me off. I'm not sure what it was, but it was enough to. It wasn't enough just not to go to church. No, I found my baptism certificate, and I wrote the bishop of the diocese. I said, "You can have this back." And the bishop gets hundreds of letters. They can't respond to every letter, but somehow the bishop must have been touched by his letter. And he wrote back in 1970. He wrote handwritten, beautiful letters. And he wrote the young man back, in essence, saying, you can't do that. You can tear your certificate up, you can burn it, you can throw it away, but nothing will take God's hand off your life. Whether you are faithful or faithless, you are marked as Christ's own forever. And just remind that. And I don't know whether it was that the bishop took the time to give attention, or whether it was the substance of the letter, maybe both, but he returned to his faith, and he's to this very day a dedicated Christian. And so today we honor the fact that she is in the arms of God, unconditional love. And godparents, we're sitting up here, raise your hand if you're a godparent. That's more than that. Oh, a lot of hands. Okay. So when I speak to godparents, all of you, because now all of you who raise your hand have a reason other than yourself to say your prayer, other than yourself to receive communion and be faithful Christians, because you are responsible, at least in part, for the faith of another human being. A beautiful accountability. But godparents, your job is to be cheerleaders to this baby girl and to encourage her and affirm her and remind her all of her life that she is beloved of God. As I mentioned to you before, remember her birthday if you will, but let her know the day of June 9th was the day of her baptism. Now always, I would also like to say, as I mentioned last Sunday at the announcement, it's a curious thing. As I mentioned, Holy Communion to the Anglican tradition used to be closed. We had to confirm Episcopalian or Anglican to receive it. But our theology changed because of baptism. Because baptism is initiation into a Christian community. And by the way, it is. We're not Christians alone. Christianity is personal, but not private. It takes a village to raise a child, but it takes a church to sustain a Christian. And this little girl needs the encouragement of a church. And now, what we believe is that baptism really does make a citizen of the community of God, that all baptized Christians should be able to receive the Holy Communion. In some Orthodox traditions, your baptism is your first communion. They take a little baby spoon and they give a communion to the baby. So beautiful symbol. Always on a day like today, I have run to the scriptures in the week to see what the Bible stories will be. Because again, I like to tell the godparent, remind her all of her life what the story was when you were baptized. Let it be their signature story to take them with them throughout their lives. So they hear it in church. That was the story read at my baptism. But oh dear, today. I was hoping for Beatitudes and feeding the 5,000, but no, we got Adam and Eve. They ripped off the tree, they disobeyed, they're hiding naked, and about ready to be thrown out of the garden. And then Jesus, early in his ministry, they think he's lost his mind. His mother and brothers have come to see him to take him home. And he says, "Who are my mother and brothers? But you all do the will of my Father." Although I'm convinced he said that as he was walking out to see his mother and brother. It doesn't say it, but I know that's what happened. He had a high view and love of his family. But I choose, actually, for the sermon text today, Adam and Eve. When you take it literally, figuratively, metaphorically, the truth is the same. And we come today when they had in the garden all that they ever wanted. They could eat any tree in the garden, but they had to have free will. God had to give them a choice. And so God said, "Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And sure enough, they did. They were hiding. God said, "Adam, Eve, where are you? We're hiding. Why are you hiding? We're naked. How do you know you're naked? Did you eat off the tree?" "Yes." And it did take Adam 2 seconds to throw Eve under the bus. Humanity never changes. And then Adam Eve throws the poor snake under the bus. And so, again, whether we take it metaphorically or not, in a way, the story of Adam and Eve articulates the realities of this world, does it not? It's yours. We talk about snakes. You have to admit, we have a certain fear of snakes. I know people have fear. No other animals, but snakes, they don't much care for. I remember in my former parish during a pet lesson, my neighbor Bishop was there. And he did a blessing, and he was blessing cat, dog, bird. And sure enough, I didn't know any fear of snakes. Someone walked out with a boa constrictor around their neck. And that bishop took off running. We finally found him in the Mary Chapel. We talked about Mary Chapel. Got rid of the snake and returned to the blessing. And I say that with a smile. But, you know, there's something to be said. There's enmity between women have pain in childbirth. Men and women work by the sweat of the brow to make a living. And there's often anxiety and distance between humans and God, and humans and humans. We need only look at the news every night to know things have not changed. And we call all of this in the story of Adam and Eve in theology the fall. The fall of Adam, the fall of man. And from the fall comes the doctrine of original sin. And so I promise it's going to get better. I'm not going to think into that baptismal font swallowing the blood of original sin. So stay with me just for a minute. And original sin basically says that corruptibility and death and sin is with us, and we inherit the fall of Adam by very means of our very birth. That leads me to a beautiful story. It's not, well, it's many years ago. Now I married a couple much like this beautiful couple, and they had a baby in time, and we planned a baptism, and the mother made an appointment to see me. It was the most beautiful appointment I think I've ever been a part of. But she came and she said, "I'm looking forward to the baptism, but I have a problem. I just have a problem. I have a problem with the doctrine of original sin, because it's hard for me to fathom that this baby conceived in love that comes from my womb is born evil. I just cannot accept that." And we talked about it. I gave her a beautiful interpretation by a systematic theologian, Mary Nix, now of blessed memory, that does not compromise orthodoxy at all. But she had a beautiful explanation of original sin, part of the doctrine of the church. She said, "You can't understand original sin until you first understand the doctrine of original righteousness. That God, when God created the world, and every day, whatever that day was, whether a day or billions of years, God said, it is good each day. We're made in the image of God. And God says to us, it is good. We're made in the original righteousness." What the doctrine of original sin says, though, from the time we are born, from the time we come from the mother's womb, every area of our life will be touched by corruptibility and wrong and sin. A baby can be born in the cycle of poverty and never thrive the way he or she should. A baby could be born in a war-torn area and never grow as he or she deserves to grow. A baby's first breath might be to breathe in polluted air through the responsibility of those who come before him or her. A baby just might be
put you up as class for the color of the skin to be in the face of prejudice, bigotry, tribe, and evil. But what baptism says is, yes, that's true. And strong are the forces of evil and wrong and hurt in this world. But stronger is the presence of the love of God. Greater is that love in us than anything that world can place on us. And that is the love promised to Zoe today. A love that overcame even the sting of death in the story of the resurrection. And it's up to the godparents, you and me, to encourage her and tell her this every day. So when we say the vows today, they might shock you. They're stern vows. You now hate it and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God. I do. And then we turn to the positive. You turn to Jesus Christ with the knowledge that as strong as evil is, there's no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. And that's what baptism has to say to this little girl. And as we baptize, we never baptize without renewing our own baptisms. When we say the creed today, it's in question and answer form. And then after the baptism, I pour the very water that baptizes Zoe into a bucket with aspergillum, and I bless the congregation. You'll feel drops of water. And that is to make us remember our baptism. If we're baptized as babies, as we might not remember, we imagine that grace upon our lives, and that promise. It is our job never to let this little girl forget who she is in God. She is the beloved of God. And she has all of us to gird her, support her for all of her life. Amen.